Kenzie said we need a new color behind me. She said it's too aggressive.
It is very loud.
It's too aggressive.
It's too loud.
I like Jared's one. It keeps you awake, all right? It keeps you awake. It is loud.
This color?
Yeah.
This is snooze.
Exactly. This is, woo! I like that. All right. What time is the Christmas party on Saturday?
5:00.
Very good.
A.M.
No. Of course.
You could be here.
Yeah, I know. I gotta say, if I'm kind of hunched over, I'm sorry. I'm getting old, people. And I had a lower back week this week. The older you get, you may understand what that means or whatnot.
Really?
Okay, maybe not. So, just me, because my own ailments, the Lord's humbling me this way or whatever. So, I don't know what it is, dude. Because, I mean, it's tolerable. It's just I have to kind of preach it a little bit.
It looks tolerable.
Yeah, it's tolerable. It is. No, so just you guys get used to that. Just ignore that. I'm not trying to like be funny or nothing. It's just weirdness with age and everything like that. So, 5:00 is right. Make sure you have your white elephant gift. If you can't, text me. I'll get you one. We're gonna have a couple of extras anyway, just in case you guys have like some friends show up or something like that. Like I said, you're welcome to invite your own friends in school. Friends
in Boston, they call it Yankee Swap.
Yankee Swap. There you go. That's what they call it in office too, right?
I think that's a better name.
Yes.
Yankee
Swamp.
I don't
want to
invite an older member from church.
Or like Jenny said, you can invite an older. I think we have a couple
alumni.
Of those.
Alumni.
Yeah, we got some alumni call me. Since they're bringing a youth kid, I said yes. So that's totally cool, man. It's all about just getting together, having a good time, building those relationships. So mastered it. Boom. I think that's it, guys. I don't have anything else. I don't think nothing else is going on, really. So. Anybody have any announcements you want to share with the group? Anything interesting happened? Caleb!
We had a school shooting event at our school.
Oh, sorry.
We had a school shooting?
Me too.
No, school shooting's the red.
Oh!
Caleb was
a... Yeah, I was a school shooter.
It's a school shooter. I've been having fun since. Wait, what is happening?
I just got
the school shooting event.
We had one
in
my ears.
Like a drill? No, it was like online that originated from TikTok, which is...
You know what? No, Macy said something about that on Tuesday night. She said she wasn't sure if she was going or not because there was like some type of threat or something. So,
my
parents
still made
me.
Same.
They what?
They're like,
"Oh, the Lord." Yeah. So what does that say?
My dad was like, "Yes."
Same way in tracks.
That's right. Yeah. Boy, she was going over here. We're going to talk about that today. You're not alive,
boy. You can't beat him, join them.
Well, that took a turn there.
So you can get out.
Oh, yeah, we'll do this.
Jenny.
Do you not have youth group next Thursday night?
Yeah, so next Thursday night we'll be on the streets caroling our hearts out. And three groups doing that. So.
Yeah, and if you're not in a group.
If you're not in a group, join my group.
Our group.
It's
my book.
Can I join your group? Our group. I include you as myself. That's where they're at. That's all that was. All inclusivity, that's right.
Don't discriminate.
Okay, so who else? Jordan, you had your hand up. You guys had a threat too, like that?
Like 2 weeks ago, yeah.
2 weeks
ago. There's like three different ones too, and they caught all three of them.
Jordan was one of them.
Ours were still.
All you get is problems nowadays. No action, huh? Alright. You probably don't want action on that one, so never mind. Jordan, what are you going to say? Nothing? No. You just hanging out back there? Who else raised their hand up here? Selma! Come on, girl! I'm trying to lock you out. So was it pajama day today, or what was going on? Because Jordan's got pajama pants on. You got your pajama pants on. I feel like I saw somebody else.
It's just finals week. It's just
finals week.
That's the one.
It's just a vibe.
I'm
going to
have one
final
week.
Got it.
Finals
week.
I don't know.
So have you guys handled that situation?
I was just like,
oh no. I saw this cup. I should have had like a stool today, something. Just made a chair to lean on.
Too late, Sam.
I know.
I have one.
I'll be fine.
Get the coffee shop. Let's go.
Yes. So Jared, you're down for that?
Okay.
All right.
So I have to admit, I did not know what you meant by water, and I had to think about it. What's he talking about? What's he gonna do?
Yes, so guys, those of you that have been to like past youth events and lock-ins who've gotten blessed by Jared and Jenny's coffee.
Skills.
Yes. It will be happening again, so look forward to that.
Congratulations. And we're gonna send him home caffeinated. That's
awesome. That'll be good. Hopefully, you have caffeine on. Like whenever you're drinking it, you can't wake up. What do you call that?
Sleep paralysis?
Hangover. Do they have caffeine hangover?
Crash.
Hey, I gotta say this. I was blessed on Wednesday night to go and hear a beautiful serenation from Selma. Wellington Napoleon, her and all five of her choir members. The only other time that happened, remember Sergio from Lincoln? Mm-hmm. So his brother was playing up in Milan, Missouri on a football game. It was like the playoffs or whatnot. And I swear, I got video footage. I don't know what the video is, but I got it. Their marching band came out at halftime, six people. So you guys almost, no, you did. You stole the cake right there. So Selma had a choir of five, but this is small town USA, baby. So it don't get no better than that. So same thing. So no, it was fun. We had a good time out there, just blowing around. Anybody have any wind damage from the storms or anything like that?
I was driving home down 350 and over by Harris Park, I saw a bright white light, like a thing blew up, and that whole strip mall of like Harbor Freight went
caught on fire.
Dark.
That's crazy.
It was crazy. It was like
so the transformer thing, right? Yeah. Probably. That's crazy. What's up, Cole?
So my dad works for IBO, and they had like
what does that stand for? Man?
Independence Park. They had like 3,000 people out from
lost power.
From the wind, yeah. He worked 16 hours. He got home at 10 o'clock this morning, and the right before we left, he had to go back in for another 16 hours.
No bueno. Yeah, that's crazy out there, right?
We should say thank you for your service.
Yes, yeah, exactly. We're excited
after you.
All right. I think that's it for me. We good? All rise. All right, here we go. Grab a hymnal. Oh, you guys already have your packets over there. Dude, let's open up a complete new sheet.
They have food for Saturday.
I will get back to you on that.
Okay.
We are definitely eating, so let me get my black shirt.
Why are you so short?
Kenzie, the plan was barbecue. That was the plan. But let me verify that afterwards. I'll send you guys some info on that. Caleb Busquet, go ahead and open us up with a word of prayer, please. Ask the Lord to bless our time in singing and the message today, and just everyone's hearts and everything like that, please. Thanks, bud.
Lord, thank you for bringing us all here tonight. Lord, thank you for giving us the opportunity to gather here and just fellowship together and learn from the book, Lord, and learn from Zach. Lord, just bless him tonight as he gives us the word. And I just pray that you help us to get something out of it and use it in our own personal lives, Lord. I just pray that Bob answers all the questions right and you give him the words to say too. In Jesus' name, amen.
Go ahead and get your packets out. Let's start in the packets. We'll finish in the books. What's up? Oh, I don't know, man. Is this back? He's doing what? He's wandering. He's out there like a lost soul. Wandering the hallways. Yeah, so everybody else should have the first page. We're going to do complete and D. Let's open up with complete and D. Where is it? Come on. I'll leave it. I did. 1 second. I thought I had this verse and I was wrong. Let me look this up. You guys need to do some warm ups while I'm looking this up? Oh, there it is. 2 times. Got it. Wrong chapter. All right, so here we go. Complete in thee. You guys remember how this goes? So here's a great verse to go along with that. Colossians chapter 2. I'm going to pick it up in verse 8. It says this: beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy, vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. The Bible says once we get saved, we're complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. I like to read verse 8 with verse 10, because verse 8, if you guys remember back in the Garden of Eden, God had made Adam and Eve, and when he got finished making them, what did he say about them? He said, it is good. That means it's finished. There's nothing else to do. There's nothing else to add. But somehow, they didn't think that they were complete in God. And because they weren't content with how God made them, because they didn't think that God had done the job right, the devil was able to come along and entice them to want more. And guess what he started giving them? Philosophy, vain deceit, traditions of men, all that stuff like that start coming in there. So that thing goes true all the way back to Genesis chapter 1. So it's all about a lack of contentment, the lack of understanding who God made us to be. That's why the Bible says godliness with contentment is a great gain. All right, so complete in thee, complete in thee.
Verse 1. Complete in thee, no work of mine may take, dear Lord, the place of thine. Thy blood hath pardoned bought for me, and I am now complete in thee. Yea, justified, O blessed thought, and sanctified salvation wrought. Thy blood hath pardoned. And glorified I too shall be. Complete in thee, no more shall sin. Thy grace has conquered, reign within. Thy voice shall bid the tempter flee, and I shall stand complete in thee. Yea, justified, O blessed thought, and sanctified salvation wrought. Thy blood and pardon bought for me, and glorified I too shall be. Complete in thee each want supplied, and no good thing to me denied. Since thou my portion, Lord, will be, I ask no more. Justified, O blessed thought, and sanctified salvation wrought. Thy blood hath pardoned bought for me, and glorified I too shall be. Dear sinner, when before thy bar all tribes and tongues assembled are, among thy chosen will I be, at thy right hand, complete in thee. Yea, just one more time. Yea, justified, oh blessed thought, and sanctified salvation wrought. Thy blood hath pardon bought for me,
and glorified
I too shall be. Hey, that's good. Singing there. Turn over to Am I a Soldier of the Cross, somewhere back in there. Am I a Soldier? No, that's not what I want to start. Oh, shit. Right. Sorry, I'm sorry. Ethan touched my side and made me jump. Then my back spasms on me. Sorry, it wasn't MI, so that's in our hymnal. That's the one I'm looking for. Oh, we don't have it. So we used to have, maybe some in another book. So it sounded like Come Thou Fount. But it said something about soldier. Remember that song? It was like, I'm a soldier bound for glory. I'm a... You guys remember that one?
Is this one?
No, that's in My Soldier of the Cross. That's what I thought, too, when I saw it.
Okay.
Let's do this one since we're here. Dang it. We'll just have to look for it. I'll have to figure it out and find it some other time. Do the last one. What a day that will be. Here we go. Verse 1. There is coming a day when the heartache shall come. No more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by his hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. There will be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness or pain, no more parting over there, and forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be.
All right, now for some of you it'll be page number one. I know my name is there. I know my name is there. You girls remember your part.
Oh, yeah, we got it.
Alright. It's alright. It might take a while to get into it, but just whatever you can. Here we go, verse 1. My name is in the book of life. Oh, bless the name of Jesus. I rise above all doubt and strife and read my title clear. I know, my name is there. I know, my name is written there. My name once stood with sinners lost and bore a painful record, but by his blood the Savior crossed and placed it on his robe. I know, my name is there. I know, my name is written there. Trouble often cast a shadow o'er my title, but
but now with full salvation blessed, praise God, it's ever clear. I know, I know. To carve a name of honor, I up in heaven's book.
Amen.
My name is written there.
You know it?
I know.
Hymnal 230. I found a friend who's all to me. His love is ever true. I love to tell how he lifted me and what his grace can do for you. I'm saved by his power divine. That's on 230. Saved to new life sublime. Life now is sweet and my joy is complete, for I'm saved, saved, saved. 230. Here we go. I found a friend who is all to me. His love is ever true. I love to tell how he lifted me and what his grace can do for you. I am saved by his power divine, saved to new life sublime. Life now is sweet and my joy is complete, for I'm saved, saved, saved. He saves me from every sin and harm, secures my soul each day. I'm leaning strong on his mighty arm. I know he'll never leave me nor forsake me.
Amen.
All the way, for I am saved by his power divine, saved to new life sublime. Life now is sweet and my joy is complete, for I'm saved, saved. Saved to new life.
Amen.
Life now is sweet and my joy is complete, for I'm saved, saved, saved.
207. Oh, happy day that fixed my choice on thee, my Savior and my God.
Woo!
All right.
How y'all feeling tonight? Y'all all right?
A little sleepy in here.
Yeah.
Too bad. Sing out. Here we go. 207. Oh, happy day.
Oh, happy day that fits my choice for thee, my Savior and my God. Well, may this glowing heart rejoice and tell its friends.
Verse 1 again. Oh, happy day.
Oh, happy day that fits my choice for thee, my Savior and my God. Well, may this glowing heart rejoice and tell its rapture.
Sing out, oh, happy day!
Happy day, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray and live rejoicing every day. Happy day, when Jesus bond that seals my vows to him who merits all my love. Let cheerful anthems fill this house while to that sacred
shrine. Verse 3, 'tis done!
'Tis done, the great transaction's done. I am my Lord's and he is mine. He drew me and I followed on, taught to confess the Lord.
Happy day!
Happy day! Happy day! When Jesus washed my sins away, he taught me how to wash and pray and live rejoicing every day. Happy day, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. Now rest my long divided heart fixed on this blissful sin to rest, nor ever from my Lord depart, with him of every good possess. Happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray, and live rejoicing every day. Happy day, happy day, when Jesus washed.
On that chorus again!
Happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray and live rejoicing every day. Happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away.
209, grace greater than our sin. Grace, grace, grace. Marvelous grace. Grace greater than our sin. Verse 1, here we go.
Marvelous grace of our loving Lord. It's grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's mount. Despair like the sea waves full, they threaten my soul within.
But grace is greater!
Grace that is greater, yes, grace untold, points to the refuge, the mighty cross. Marvelous grace, infinite grace, grace that will pardon. Marvelous grace, infinite grace, grace that is greater than all my sin. Dark is the stain that I cannot hide. Oh, what can avail to wash?
Only one thing!
Look, there is flowing a crimson tide. Whiter than snow you may be today. Marvelous grace, God's infinite grace. It's grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Marvelous grace, infinite grace. Grace that is greater than all our sin. Marvelous, infinite, matchless
grace. Amen.
Freely bestowed on all who believe. You that are longing to see his face, will you this moment?
It's up to you. Amen.
God's marvelous grace. Grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Marvelous grace.
Turn to 352. I told you we gotta learn this one. Yes, that's what I'm talking about. Oh, I don't know if we're ready for that one yet. This is a good one, though. Okay, so Charles Wesley, same guy that wrote "And Can It Be That I Should Gain?" All right, so you know this one's gonna be a smacker right here. That's not the one I was wanting, though. The one I was wanting was the one I sung for you guys a while back. It was "There Is a Name So Sweet." There's no name so sweet on earth. Where is that? Maybe this is where the Lord wants us. Let's just stay. 443. All right, we'll look at both of them. Jared, stop the Lord right there. No. All right. So have 352 in one hand and 443 in the other. Let's look at 352. So I'll sing the melody for you guys on both of them. You guys choose which one you think is simpler. Both of them were solid. These are both going to be a part of our repertoire real soon here. So check this one out. This is awesome. Jesus, lover of my soul. Like this. Jesus, lover of my soul, lend me to thy bosom fly. While the nearer waters roll, while the tempest still is high. Oh, you probably have to drop this for me. But anyway, chorus. Hide me, O my Savior, hide, till the storm of life is past. Safe into the haven guide, receive my soul at last. Very good devotional hymn right there. The other one's 443. 443. So this one. There is no name so sweet on earth, no name so sweet in heaven. The name before his wondrous birth, to Christ the Savior given. We love to sing of Christ our King, and hail him blessed Jesus. For there's no word here ever heard, so dear, so sweet as Jesus.
I guess.
All right, hey, you know what I think of when I sing this? It sounds like a bunch of Christian, what were those things on Lord of the Rings with the long beards with their really short?
Dwarves.
It sounds like a bunch of Christian dwarves right there. It sounds like that. You know, just like, I was seeing like marching through the mountain or something like that. Yeah, it's a mountain. Yeah. Well, when I heard it, it was like a bunch of Scottish men singing this. That's probably exactly what I'm thinking of. Yeah.
Yeah, share that one.
Yeah, I will, dude. It's so good. It's so good. But they sing it so heartily, too. Oh. There is no name. Oh, it's so awesome, man. All right, guys. Verse 1. We'll just keep going through it. We'll sing it until I feel like we know it. All right, here we go. Verse 1.
There is no name so sweet on earth, no name so sweet in heaven. The name before his wondrous birth, to Christ the Savior given. We love to sing of Christ our King, and hail him blessed Jesus. For there's no word here ever heard, so dear, so sweet as Jesus.
Real quick, is that too low for you guys? You like it there? Pretty good. All right, let's keep going. Verse 2.
Was Gabriel that first did proclaim to his most blessed mother the name which now and evermore we praise above all other. We love to sing of Christ our King and hail him blessed Jesus. For there's no word here ever heard so dear, so sweet as Jesus. And when he hung upon the tree, they wrote his name above him, that all might see the reason we forevermore must love him. We love to see sing of Christ our King, and hail him, blessed Jesus. For there's no word e'er ever heard so sweet as Jesus. So now upon his Father's throne, Almighty to release us from sin and pain, he ever reigns, the Prince and Savior Jesus. We love to sing of Christ our King, and hail him, blessed Jesus. For there's no word here ever heard so dear, so sweet as Jesus. O Jesus, by thy matchless name, thy grace shall fail us never. Today as yesterday,
that's right,
thou art the same forever. We love to sing of Christ our King, and hail him, blessed Jesus. For there's no word here ever heard so dear, so sweet as Jesus. To Jesus every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess him. And we unite with saints in light, our only Lord to bless him. We love to sing of Christ our King, and hail him, blessed Jesus. For there's no word here ever heard so dear, so sweet as Jesus.
Hey, good job, good job. Sit down. Good job today.
Good job.
Yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. Each victory will help you some other to win. Fight manfully onward, dark passions subdue. Look ever to Jesus, he will carry you through. Shun evil companions that language disdain. God's name hold in reverence, nor take it in vain. Be thoughtful and earnest, kind-hearted and true. Look ever to Jesus, he will carry you through. To him that overcometh, God giveth the crown. I forgot the next verse. So now I'm pounding around. No. So yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. Each victory will help you some other to win. We're going to talk about the crown of life today, guys. Crown of life. So, I need two readers. Somebody raise your hand. Who wants to read?
Who's really reading today?
Caleb, I saw your hand go up. All right, so Caleb is one. Who's number two? Who's the number two in here? You're number two? Go ahead and go real quick. I'm just playing. All right. All right, so Caleb and Jordan. Beautiful.
The other Jordan.
So, Caleb, James 1:12. Jordan, Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. So, we're going to these crowns. What did you have to do to get salvation, Ethan?
What did you have to do to get saved? What kind of works do you have to do to get saved?
You don't actually need
them. You don't have to do works? Do you agree with that, Sierra? That's right. Sarai, do you agree with that, too? You didn't have to work? Well, why do you try to be good all the time? Do you try to be good all the time?
Yeah.
Okay. So salvation is free. But if you want a crown, guys, it's going to cost you something. All right, so last time we talked about crown of righteousness. We talked about your attitude and the works that go along with it that get you that crown when Jesus Christ comes. So salvation, absolutely free. Jesus Christ paid it all. All to him I owe. sealing up the crimson stain, but he's the one that washed the white snow, okay? We didn't have to wash ourselves. We didn't have to do anything. So we all know that. But the crown is going to cost you something. An old preacher used to always say, no cross, no crown. You see how that works? So you guys didn't have to go to Calvary. Jesus Christ went for you. But to get that crown and the judgment of Christ, you are going to have to pick up your cross. Take up your cross and carry it. Today we're going to talk about the crown of life. And that's a big part of that. And there's two ways to get this crown. One I can speak to, the other one I really can't. But I'm going to talk about it anyway, just so you guys know, just in case God calls you to do it. Crown of life, James chapter 1, verse 12. Go ahead and read that.
Blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him.
So I just read sung a little bit of a song that I can remember, and it said, yield not to temptation. What does the Bible tell you to do here in James chapter 1, verse 12, Caleb? What are you supposed to do to temptation? What's the word right before temptation? That's what I'm asking. I'm sorry. Let me put you on the spot.
Endure.
All right, so the Bible says when it comes to temptation in your life, there's something you're supposed to do. The Bible says you're supposed to endure temptation. Notice it didn't say you're not supposed to ask God to remove it from your life. You're not supposed to complain about it when it comes. You're not supposed to yield to it. Yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. Okay, so what's the crown of life? The Bible says right here, if you endure temptation when you're tried, then the Bible says God's going to give you a crown of life and all them that love him. So you know what that simply is? Every time you guys have something fly to your minds, a sinful thought, a lustful idea, some type of action that you know God wouldn't like, the Bible says if you choose not to give in to that, cha-ching, it's like you guys are building up coins for that crown of life. Now, isn't that awesome how the Bible gives us these simple pictures? Because now, when you choose not to sin, it's not just you, oh man, I'm missing out on some type of enjoyment, some type of pleasure, some type of fun. No, now I'm putting money in the bank for something else. Do you guys get that? So, when you're walking in your day-to-day life and nobody's around you, and you can get away with something that no one will ever find out about, it still counts. And what an awesome opportunity to motivate yourself now when no one's with you and you can watch whatever you want to watch. Yeah, just like that. Instead of watching it, you know what you do? Yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. You know why a lot of people are going to lose their crown of life just because of that? They know how to put on a good show in front of everyone right here, but in their private life, they live like hell. And that's why that crown of life goes away. But isn't that awesome? Now you guys have got some motivation, even your pop. That's why we're going over these crowns, because they're so practical. They're things you can wake up and focus on every day and live a good Christian life and lay up your life that you're heading towards. Remember I gave that analogy before, like, no, none of us got to choose how we came into this life. I didn't get to choose how awesome I look. No, I didn't get to choose what color I am. How fast I was, how smart I was, or not. You know what I mean? None of you guys have to choose any of those things. Your parents, somebody else, generations before you chose all that stuff in a way, and God allows you to come in how he allows you to come in. So you know what people do nowadays? You know what the social justice system is all about? It's about teaching you how to complain and become a victim about stuff that you had no control over, that you absolutely can't change. So what's white guilt? Raise your hands. Who knows what white guilt is? Raise your hands. You guys don't know what that is? Okay, yeah, speak about it. Yeah, it's okay. We're family. We can talk about it. So, Ethan, go ahead. What's white guilt?
Isn't it like just being guilty from what your ancestors did if you're white?
Okay, so that's part of it. They say because your ancestors were white and they were the only people in the world who ever had slaves.
Okay.
Exactly. Okay, go ahead, Xavier.
It's just dumb crap.
This dumb crap, DC, all right? So, that's the true DC comics right there. Who else have their hand up? Brandon, were you going to say something? He's like, no, I'm going to hold back right now. Kenzie, were you going to say something?
No.
You don't have anything on white guilt?
I have a guess, but not...
You have a guess?
Yeah.
You have a guess to invite to class on white guilt?
Guess.
Oh, you want a guess?
Yes.
Go ahead, give me a guess.
I'm guessing because of the name, like, it's guilt you get over something simple.
Oh, so she chooses a white, like, yeah. I would say that's a little white lie. So, yeah. Like, a novel, not too big. I got you. So, no, that's not quite it. It's even more sinister than that. It means anybody that's born with pigment that's not darker or brown or something like that should feel guilty. for who they are. Guilt for how they're born. Now, what did I just say? Who can control how they're born? Nobody! Alright? So that's one thing that the social justice movement is built on. If you have a certain skin tone or something like that, then you're one of the anointed races, and we're going to lift you up. But if you have that one color, no. You've got enough success in your history, and we're going to put you down now. So that's the whole white guilt thing. That's a little bit of it, not all of it. All right, but what's something else we talk about, and something else that we can't control that people get upset about? All right, maybe their intelligence or something like that. You know, no matter how hard I try, there's a certain level I'm never going to be able to reach. I know that, okay? There's certain people that just speak well. They know how to do that stuff. There's certain athletes that are just super great. I'll never be able to play baseball like Colton or do any of the sports that he plays. You know, anything that the kid puts his hand to, I'm sure he could just completely blow me out of the water. But so here's the thing. None of us got to choose that. We all kind of got a little bit of here, a little bit there. The reason I love eternity so much, and what I'm looking forward to it, is I have control over how I enter it. Mm. Okay? So you have absolute 100% control over how you guys go into the next life. You did not have that option when you entered this one. But you know what most of us do? We still whine, complain, gripe about this life and completely ignore the one that we have control over.
Amen.
What sense does that make? But that's the trick of the devil, guys. Get caught up in a situation. Why do my parents have to be like this? Why can't I look like so-and-so? Why did he get hype and I didn't? Why did he get straight hair and I got curly hair? Why did I have to be called Permacio and I rather didn't get the email? So, no, I know you don't care about that. But you guys see what I'm talking about? That's the trick of the devil. He's trying to get us to focus more on this life than the one we're going to. Why I'm talking about the crowns is to give you guys a chance, like the Bible says in 1 Timothy 6, to lay hold on eternal life. You can have it in your hand today by the decisions you make right now. Yeah, you're not there yet. But the actions you make, the choices you make, will allow you to lay hold on it, and you can stack up rewards for yourself right now. The Bible talks about an inheritance that God gives us at that judgment seat of Christ. An inheritance, guys, you can be rich in the millennium. Now, I know we're modest and we're humble as Christians. We don't usually like to think about being rich because we know it's so worldly and vain. But there's a time God wants you to be rich. And if you're not rich in that time, there's something wrong. It's almost like it comes full circle. When you did right in the Old Testament, God wanted you to be rich and he blessed you. That's why the Bible talks about the righteous Job back then. Well, when we get to the millennium, when we get out into eternity, God wants his people that did the right thing to be blessed, to be prosperous, and to be rich. So, take note of what we're talking about. Pay attention to these things, to these crowns. The one we're talking about today that you can lay hold on is the crown of life. And the way you do it, I love it because it's so practical. Every time you have the opportunity to do something wrong in your life, and you choose not to, you're laying hold on this crown right here. When temptation comes your way, when bad thoughts, when evil attitudes and stuff like that come into your life, do you cast them down like the Bible tells you in 2 Corinthians 10? Or do you yield to them? All right. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Isn't that funny? It's back to that again. Your attitude towards Jesus Christ is really what determines whether or not you'll do these actions. When we were talking about the crown of righteousness, the Bible said, this crown is promised to those that love his appearing. This crown of life is promised to those that love him. Promised to those that love him. Now, why is that? 1 Corinthians chapter 10. You guys remember this over there? It says this. I can't remember it. 1 Corinthians 10:13 is what I'm thinking about. Popular, very popular. I can't believe I just went blank on that. There it is. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful. Now don't forget, this crown of life is going to be given to those that love him, that choose not to give in to temptation but to endure it. I'm about to put a concept in your minds, and I hope it sticks with you. I pray to God that it convicts you and that it helps you understand what sin really is. Okay? Back when the nation of Israel came out of Egypt, God separated them from the world. He did miraculous things to show the world that they were his people.
He knocked out the superpower at that time, and he started leading his people out. And he started protecting them. He kept them from Amalek. He kept them from all the Canaanite nations that were out there. And he took care of them because, you know what the nation of Israel was to God? It was his bride. So he had to look after her. He had to keep her. And what you start to see is that when Jesus Christ saved you, and we know what the Bible is called, what the Bible calls the church, he calls it the bride of Christ. Well, this is what's going on. Just like back in the Garden of Eden, and let me get this concept in your mind. The Bible talks about, and Paul says this, he says back when Adam and Eve were in the garden, he says that the devil came to Eve, who was a type of the church, and he tricked her, he beguiled her. Over in 2 Corinthians 10, Paul says, I'm jealous over you, church folks, the church, with a godly jealousy because I'm worried that just like Satan beguiled Eve, your mind shall also be beguiled. So what connections are you trying to make here, Zach? Well, here it is. Temptation is how the devil flirts with us after we've been espoused to God. So, that sucks. Nobody in here is really in a relationship, are they? Not really. I mean, some of you might have a boyfriend or girlfriend.
Jordan Wood.
Duh, Jordan and Saray. I know. Who else is in here with a relationship? Sorry. Selena. Okay. See, dude, I'm going to blame it on the back pain today. It's like some nerves are like not connected to the rhyme. Okay. Good. This is awesome. This is perfect. Now I can drive this point on. So check it out. So let's say your relationships keep going. God blesses those things. You guys end up getting married. Okay. Let's say after you're married, but check it out. Let's say before whoever you're with now, they were with somebody else and they really liked them. They thought that, you know what, this is really going to work out because this is the person that God wants me to be with and everything like that. But, and then, you know, they were really close. They're really close to maybe getting married, but it didn't work out. And they left off of that. Okay. But then they get with you and it is what God wants. And God blesses that you guys get married. But let's say later on down the road, you know, all of a sudden that person comes back in their life and they say, you know what, I kind of miss what we had. And they drop you like a bad habit and go back to that person. How would that make you feel?
Trash.
So like trash? Yeah. Check it out. That's exactly what happens when the devil puts sin in our life. You know what we're really saying? We ask Jesus Christ to save us. We ask him to take us away from that horrible guy that we were in a relationship with, Satan. You know, he was out here, you know, showing us all he had in the world. We were really close with him, really tight with him. And he was giving us all these things in the world, stuff like that. But after a while, we realized this guy's a jerk. He treats us horribly. He only shows us these nice things to get us close to him. And once he gets us, he takes us and dumps us and leaves us. Mm-hmm. And we feel like crap with him. And so finally, one day your prince came, your knight in shining armor, Jesus Christ. And he rescued you from that. And he poured out his soul to you. Instead of taking you and bringing you close to him to use you, he taught you and took you and brought you close to him to take care of you and to comfort you and give you all these great things. But then all of a sudden, you know what happens? Every now and then the devil walks by and he shows you a little leg.
Or hoof.
Or hoof, yeah. Prince that bad boy down. That's what sin is. The very sin that the devil is flashing before us is the same sin that crucified Jesus Christ. It's what he had to come and die for to rescue us from him. You know what we're saying back to Jesus Christ? Dang, I know you've been good to me. I know you've actually never done anything wrong to me. I know you've always pretty much given me what I've needed. But my gosh, man, look at that leg, Lord. Look at what he's offering me right now. And he's like, okay, yeah, I see what he's showing you. And that's all awesome and everything, but don't forget where it ended up last time. Yeah, that group of kids look like they're a lot of fun, don't they? But remember what happened? It ended in 6 months of being grounded. Remember that? It remembered in you losing your cell phone. It ended in you whatever happened the last time you got involved in whatever scene you got in. You see that? But it always looks so pleasurable again. That's what this temptation thing is like. This is why I said that. The Bible says there is no temptation taking you but such as common to man, but God is faithful. You know what we like to talk about in relationships? Are you faithful to me? He's faithful to you. He's not cheating on you with someone else. He's staying faithful to you. He's staying committed to you. He's staying dedicated to you. The problem is,
they're not so dedicated to him. That's what sin is. The devil says, hey, remember how we used to run and play? You want some of that again? You're like, yeah, let's go do it real quick. He's not paying attention. That's what that sin is. So it's not just an opportunity for you to get a crown of life, God. It's an opportunity for you to remain faithful to your Lord and Savior. That's why he said he's going to give this to them that love him. How much do you love him? You love him enough not to cheat on him? Now, I realize what I'm saying may seem tough because you're saying, well, Zach, the end of your conversation is that we can be sinless. Right? Well, no, of course not. We can't be sinless. But the Bible says we can absolutely pursue that thing. There's an attitude we can have towards that. There's a dedication that we can make towards the Lord God. Over here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4. I'm going to throw something else out to you. I'm spending too much time on this first one. We got to keep moving. All right, so check this out. Temptation is how the devil flirts with us after we've been espoused to God. God stays faithful to us, but the question is, will we stay faithful to him? And that's what getting tried and tempted is all about. And right when we got started, I said, you shouldn't ask God to take temptation away or complain about it. But check it out right here. This is how we do it. Paul says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, pick it up in verse 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you, all toward each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. So that's the whole thing. These temptations, these persecutions, this is something that you're supposed to put up with and keep going, and you'll get this crown of life. Now, I said that there's one thing that I can speak to, and it's this part of the crown of life. The second one I can't speak to yet. And maybe God will call me to do this. And I pray that I'm found faithful enough to do it. But the next one is in Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. Jordan, you still got that pulled up. Revelation 2:10. Go ahead and read that, Jordan.
Hear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life.
Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. You say, well, Zach, I love God. I'm going to try to stay faithful to him, but how long do I have to do it for? Well, it's a marriage until death do us part. So that's the thing. Until you die naturally, or until someone calls you out and says, separate from him or I'll kill you. And you say, well, I'm ready to die for him. So that's the second part of that crown. The first part is dying to yourself daily by choosing not to sin. The second part is a physical, real death. Are you willing to burn at the stake for Jesus Christ? Are you willing to go that route for him? So we've always talked about, we've always looked at, you know, martyrs and their sacrifice that they've made. I'm not going to spend too much time on that tonight. Like I said, and I feel like kind of a couple of youth groups before this, when we talked about dying right for God, we kind of touched on this. But I wanted you to have those two aspects of it so we can move on to something else more key. Now, here's the thing I want to tie in from the last thing we talked about. The Bible says, once again, them that love him. All right. So Jesus promised a crown of life to those who will put up with temptation and resist it for his sake. When you truly love someone, you'll suffer for them. That's a great test for what you truly love in life, or what you're just kind of playing with. What are you willing to suffer for? Who are you willing to suffer for? Who are you willing to put up with? A lot of you guys really love your friends, even when they're stupid, because you cover for them and you take the blame. So you must love them. Do you do the same for Jesus Christ? Or do you try to avoid him? What are you willing to suffer for? Blessed is the man that puts up with temptation from day to day. But like I said, notice that familiar tag on that verse. God's promised them this stuff to them that love him. Your attitude towards him determines whether or not you'll take the actions to secure these crowns for him. What I want to finish with today is a list again. And this might explain for you guys, as well, I looked at my own life, what the Bible teaches us, why we choose not to endure for him. Why is it that we do yield to temptation? And really, it comes down to this list of things right here.
Turn over to Mark chapter 4, verse 17. Mark chapter 4. The first reason why we won't endure for Christ like he asked us to, why we yield to temptation instead of enduring, is because of our lack of this thing right here. Verse 14, pick it up there. It says, "The sower soweth the word, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness." Watch this. "And have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended." The first reason why we don't endure, guys, is because we have no roots. Now, this does tie back into the martyrs. The problem with Christianity is that a lot of us don't understand where we came from. They don't realize that Christianity was born out of affliction, out of persecution. Number one, with Jesus Christ on the cross. But then after that, with all those that chose to follow him in his day. And then down throughout the ages, you can look at the history of Christianity, and anyone that's been willing to call out Christ's name has had to pay a price for it, except for where we're at right now. When you hear about persecution coming your way for believing in Jesus Christ, when you hear about affliction coming your way, it shouldn't make you fail. It should inspire you to prevail for the Lord. So that's the first problem that we have. We don't have roots. You guys, you have to get into understanding what your roots are. What's your heritage? Understand what it means to be a Christian. The next thing, the reason why we won't endure for Christ is because we have no charity. Over here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 7, it says this. It says, charity is what it's talking about. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things. Here's our key word, endureth all things. Endureth all things. That's charity. Now, what's charity? Okay, charity in the world, what is it? It's when somebody makes it big and then they want to give back to the community, right? And do they try to ask the community to give something back to them usually? No, it's just, I'm going to give this because of what they feel like they got from the community. So whenever like a guy grows up in the slums or the ghetto or the projects or, you know, out in the trailers or something like that, and he makes it big in sports, they want him to have some type of a charity. Because from that, he rose up. He got a lot from the community, and now he's supposed to give back to it. So what's this for a Christian? Charity for a Christian is you giving back based off of what God's given you. That's all it is. Oftentimes we say it's given without expecting something in return. Well, that goes without saying when you understand what it truly is. It's you realizing what Jesus Christ did for you, and because of that, you want to give back to others based off of that. Check this out. Did you guys know that charity doesn't show up in the Old Testament? Yeah, it actually doesn't. Look for it. You know, it doesn't show up in the Old Testament because it only could happen after Jesus Christ died on the cross. Remember what charity is? It's given back based off of what God gave to us. And up to that point, God hadn't truly given anything to man like he gave Jesus Christ. Did you guys know something else? Charity is something that God himself can't do. You know why? Because he never owed anyone anything, and no one's ever given him nothing. So he can't give back based off of what we've given to him. Because we never have. So you never find God using charity, and you never find it in the Old Testament. Some crazy stuff right there. So, charity is all about what I do for others based off of what Christ did for me. When you understand that, you won't mind enduring the temptations that come your way. The next thing here, 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. This right here shows us that we won't endure because we're not enlisted. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 says this. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please them who hath chosen him to be a soldier. So one reason we won't endure is because we don't understand what we are. We're not enlisted in our minds. When we got saved, we got into like some type of a, you know, VIP club or something like that, where we just get a lot of good things in life, where we don't have to worry about hell anymore, and pretty much it's just a free ticket to heaven. But what we didn't realize is that when we said yes to Jesus Christ and we confessed him with our mouth, we took an oath to join his army. You're in the army of the Lord now. How many of you guys wake up each day and have that mindset of a soldier, that Satan is out there trying to kill you, that he's trying to destroy you, that he's doing nothing but going around to and fro seeking whom he may devour? Most of us don't. We wake up pretty comfortable. You know, the heat's on in the house when it's cold. We can go get our coffee, go get our, you know, Pop-Tarts or whatever. We're like a civilian. On Cooper's color code, we're in the white. You know, we're not looking for any threats. And that's why when tough times come our way, we complain about them. If you were out there on the front lines and all of a sudden you heard, you know, gunfire going out, most people don't complain about it because they realize I'm on the front lines. I should expect gunfire to be going out. I'm where the thick of the battle is. The reason we complain, the reason we're not likely to endure is because we think that we're in some type of posh palace to be served by everyone. All right? Living like a civilian instead of a soldier. A soldier expects a fight, 1 Peter 4:12. He prepares for the fight, Ephesians 6:11, and then he endures it, 2 Timothy 2. That's the reason we won't endure, because we're not enlisted in our minds. The next thing is over in verse 10. It says, therefore, I endure all things. Why? For the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. So check it out. Paul says he endures everything, not just for himself, but because of his burden for others. It's not just about you, but it's what God will do through you for others. So sometimes there's some stuff that God's going to take you guys through simply because he wants you to take that and teach it to somebody else. Are some of you kids okay with going through a tough time so that you can help some younger kids coming up behind you? You know, I look at the stuff that God took me through, you know, especially at the end of my high school years. Up to that point, I was pretty much living great, man. I'm not even going to lie. I got nothing to complain about. I always got along great with my family. There was never any, you know, major issues, nothing like that. But it wasn't until I chose to come to this church that all hell broke loose. Okay? And at that time, you know, maybe I thought, what the heck? My dad's a pastor. Why is he acting like this when I chose to give my life to God and to go to a special church and to completely sell myself out to Jesus Christ? But you know what God starts showing me more and more and more? Especially when Pastor Bob asked me to start working with the youth, he was like, son, there's going to be some kids that have to do the same stuff that you're going through. And that's exactly why I wanted to take you to this stuff. So maybe now, guys, instead of thinking about why are my parents so tough on me? Why am I dealing with these tough things that I'm going through in my life? You know, why am I having to deal with what I'm dealing with in school? Maybe change your mindset on it. Did you know it's hard to minister to people when your life has been perfect and they're going through tough times?
Yeah.
Maybe God just wants you to be useful. To have some trouble in your life so you can tell people, I've been there, but you come out. There's a way through it. Amen, Jordan? All right, so, therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain salvation. But that's not it. Check it out. 2 Timothy chapter 3, over one chapter. Another reason we don't endure is because of that. We refuse to go through tough times. Look at verse 10 through 11. Paul says this, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, my long-suffering, my charity, my patience, watch this, my persecutions and afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra. What persecutions I complained about. What persecutions I avoided. What persecutions I cried. No, I endured. But here's the thing. This is why you won't endure. You've got no record like Paul. You've got no record. You see what he says at the end of that? But out of them all, the Lord delivered me. We spent so much time protecting ourselves from anything bad in life. God's not been able to do anything special. And so therefore, we can't trust him to do anything. What a beautiful trick the devil's played on us. He's preached this prosperity Christianity. If you're God's child, he wants the best for you. And if things are going wrong in your life, it's because you're out of fellowship or something like that. You deserve what's best in life. That's not it, guys. When you look at the Apostle Paul, persecutions, afflictions. But the Bible says, out of them all, the Lord delivered me. The Bible says in Psalms, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivereth them out of them all. That's the only reason God puts you in those things. Let me show you something else. Even Job. Job chapter 5 says that. One of my favorite spots back here. Job's going to town. He's talking about, man's born under trouble as the sparks fly upward. Everything horrible is happening to me. It's all bad. Watch this. Job chapter 5, verse 18. He says this. For he maketh sore. So sometimes God will take you through things in life that leave you sore. And bindeth up. You want to be free, but it seems like you just can't move. God's constraining you. Look what else he says. He woundeth. Well, what a horrible father. What happened to the loving Father God? And his hands make whole. Oh, look at here. This is what's going on. He shall deliver thee in six troubles, yea, in seven there shall no evil touch thee. And that's coming from a man who had everything, lost it all, but then understood what God was trying to accomplish at that time. Guys, when God takes, you know that song we like to sing? When through fiery trials thy pathway shall lie, thy grace all sufficient shall be thy supply. The flame shall not harm thee, I only design thy dross to consume. He only puts that nasty dross over you, even though you're a jewel, because he wants to show people how it gets burned off and you are able to remain. And thy gold to refine. Why did God throw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the fiery furnace? Because he hated them to show them who was boss? No, to prove to the world that those are my people and watch how I have my hands on them. So if God's taking you guys through something tough in your life right now, and you're saved, and you're trusting him, and you're doing what's right, it's not to punish you, it's not to beat you up. Maybe take the attention off of yourself. Think about why he might be doing this for others. Think about what type of awesome story he's going to be able to tell when he brings you out on the other side. But the reason you can't endure is because you've got no record. You played it safe. If he did it then, he'll do it again. All right, Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 27. Hebrews 11, 27. This one here is, you can't endure because you've got no vision. Pick it up in verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He was born in that house, or he wasn't, but he got to rise up and be raised in that house. Verse 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. How could he do all that? I mean, wasn't that stupid? Moses, God set you up the same way he set up Joseph. You're in Pharaoh's house and you're a Hebrew. You got it made. Stay there. But he forsook it all. Did he not read his scrolls back then? Did he not understand that's how God takes care of his people? He brings them up into... No. You know what he did? This is why he was able to do that. Look at the end of that verse, 27. For he endured as seeing him who is invisible. You know why you won't put up with anything in your life? Because you've got no vision of God. You can't see where you're headed. Guys, you're not going to put up with crap for Jesus Christ unless you can start to see heaven. You've got to have a vision of him. You've got to start to be able to visualize what it's going to be like when God calls your name up there. You're standing before him at the judgment seat of Christ. And I know you think you're going to be standing amongst a lot of other people, but probably not. Probably just be you and him. And for the first time, you'll look into those eyes. Those eyes that refuse to look at anything filthy just for you. Not because his flesh wouldn't have enjoyed it just like yours would. Not because he didn't have the opportunity to do it, but because he saw you in hell. And he said, man, I want to take a look, but I'm not going to do it because Jordan Hermosillo is going to need my blood one day. Jordan Woods is going to need my blood. Caleb Busquets is going to need my blood. Ethan's going to need my blood. Sierra, Saray. Anyone that takes my blood is going to need me to be perfect and sinless, a lamb without spot, without blemish. And therefore, I'll endure the temptation and not yield to it. The Bible says he was tempted in all points, like as we are.
yet without sin. He had the same draw. He had the same flesh that wanted to look, but he didn't do it for you. And when you stand up and judge through Christ, those are the eyes you're going to be looking in. And then you're going to notice, whoa, is that blood in heaven? What's that all about? Fresh wounds still. From what you touched, you had no business touching. You're going to notice the trickle maybe on his face. What's that from? The intellectual sins, the things we thought about, the filthy thoughts that went through our mind that he suffered for. The hole in his side, your sins of affection, the holes in his feet, for going places that we had no business going. So he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. You know how the Bible says we repaid him? He was despised by us and rejected. Imagine that. You know, you're almost like a little baby who can't change his diaper. You go and you have a big blowout, okay, your diaper. And then because you have that blowout, mommy has to come and change you. And imagine this. I used to think about this. After I'm cleaning up Brady or Brian back when they were in diapers, imagine after I take that and grab that and clean it up and make them fresh again, and I go to pick them up, then all of a sudden they like put their hand out and say, "No, don't touch me, you're gross. Get away from me, Mom, get away from me, Dad. I don't want to be associated with someone that plays with poop, that cleans up poop. I'm too good for that." It was your poop I was cleaning. You know, that's how we treat Jesus Christ. Yeah, the world can't stand him. They hate him. You talk about Jesus around your friends, you'll get made fun of. You try to bring him up, you know, anywhere, maybe you'll get an HR call or something like that at work. Why is that? Because he's sinless and they're not. He convicts them, but check it out. That's how we treat Jesus Christ so often. The reason he's rejected by the world is because of our filth that he took upon himself. It wasn't him. It was us that made him reject it. He could have come down here and made everyone love him just by working miracles, giving them everything that they wanted. But he didn't. He made himself like a man. He humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross for you and I. The problem is, guys, we can't see him yet. But you got to be like Moses. The only way that you'll forsake this world is if you can get a good vision of him and endure is seeing him who is invisible. Last one, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3. The last reason we won't endure, once again, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. The reason you can't endure once again, because you've got no memory of what he did for you. So you got no roots. That's why you won't endure. You've got no charity. You've got no enlistment, no burden for others, no record, no vision, and no memory. The devil wants you to forget how good Jesus Christ has been to you. Forget the fact that instead of coming down here like a king, he came down here like a humble servant. He came down here like a sacrifice. He came down here with you on his mind. Now, the Bible says the servant is no greater than the master. Is Jesus Christ your Lord? You see, we all want a Savior, but very few of us want a Lord. We don't mind someone dying for us and keeping us out of hell. We just don't want someone ruling us, right? Yeah, Lord, provide for me, protect me. Keep me, but don't tell me what to do. Don't put these restraints on me. Why does your Bible have to have such a high standard, Lord? You ever think about that? You think God just doesn't want you to have fun? Guys, I can't think of one rule that Jenny and I have given Brady and Brynn just because we wanted them to be miserable. Every single thing we've told them was to keep them safe, to help them out, or to teach them something so that they can be better off later on. Do you think I'm more righteous than God? So every single rule, every single thing he gave us has nothing to do with us being restricted from a great life, having pleasures and fun and stuff like that. The reason he said that is because even though you can't see him, he can see your enemy. And he can see how he set up this world to make it attractive, to make it beautiful,
to damn you, to destroy you, to cut you off from him and make you miserable. So everything he gives us in the Bible is to avoid those traps, those snares, our key word tonight, those temptations. Yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. And that's my favorite part of that song, and I've experienced this. Each time you say no to something, you get stronger and you get better at saying no to it. That's some grace that God gives us. Try it. The next time you got something that you just keep falling for, say no to it. And then watch. It's going to be a little bit easier next time to say no again. And then to say no again. And before, you're going to develop a pattern of righteousness. It's going to be, I'm trying to tell you guys, it works. But we've got to be willing to endure temptation and not yield to it. All right. Well, let's hold out there. I think they're out down there. We'll pray and let you guys out. Heavenly Father, thank you for tonight. You know, there's a lot of jumping around and maybe not as clear and clean as I could have presented that to them, Heavenly Father, but I trust that your Holy Spirit will compensate for my lack. And I pray that you would give these kids what they need. Or that's the truth, regardless of who said it. That's the truth that I said tonight, regardless of how goofy it might have come out, Lord. And you said that your word won't return void. It will accomplish the purpose that it was sent forth to accomplish. And I pray that it will rest in these kids' hearts and that you would water it and give it the increase that it needs tonight. Well, I love you and I pray and ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, 5 o'clock on Saturday, guys. We'll see you then. Looking forward to it.